This is KTOO. I'm Jamie Deep here with local and statewide news. Good afternoon. Alaska organizations that provide weather and environmental information to mariners and subsistence hunters are bracing for reduced funding. The cuts haven't been approved, but according to a draft budget memo, the Trump administration is considering slashing more than a quarter of the funding for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in 2026. The Alaska Ocean Observing System is one local NOAA program that provides coastal and ocean data to improve the safety of boaters, fishermen, and subsistence hunters. The executive director of the organization, Shana Wisdom, says the proposed budget would eliminate the program.
It would completely shut us down. And we have projects across Alaska. We would be pulling assets out of the water.
The organization's projects include supporting indigenous observers who track changes in their communities, mapping whaling trails, and monitoring harmful algal blooms. In another project, hunters in Point Hope, Ukiavik, and Wainwright collaborated with scientists to install buoys at popular subsistence locations to track wave height. The buoys then provide real-time data via an app about when it's safe to hunt whales, seals, or walruses. Steve White is the executive director at Marine Exchange of Alaska. The organization partnered with the program to install weather stations on vessels so other boaters get real-time conditions from remote areas. He says losing such initiatives would be a huge hit to a state that already lacks weather reporting.
Up in Alaska, you got to have good weather information. It could determine whether you die or whether you come back or whether you should go out on a boat or not.
If the Trump administration's proposed changes go through, Wisdom with the Alaska Ocean Observing System says it's still unclear whether the program will have an alternative path to stay operational. Nearly 2 months have passed since the University of Alaska Board of Regents directed leadership to scrub mentions of diversity, equity, and inclusion from websites and publications. The action was in response to federal threats to withhold funding from universities. But the University of Alaska Southeast has retained its services and funding for now. There have been some big changes across the University of Alaska system due to the Trump administration's crackdown on DEI. Universities in Fairbanks and Anchorage have experienced federal funding cuts, revoked student visas, and office reorganizations for people serving Alaska Native students and other underrepresented communities. But these things aren't happening at the University of Alaska Southeast. UAS Chancellor Aparna Palmer said at a recent virtual town hall, the campus's own Native and Rural Student Center hasn't changed.
The Indigenous heritage of Alaska is so central to our identity as an institution. At UAS, it is part of the fabric of who we are. And so our commitment to that continues.
Instead, UAS continues to review and scrub mentions of DEI on university webpages, a directive the Board of Regents passed in February. One name change includes the Chancellor's Advisory Committee on Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Cultural Safety. It's now the Chancellor's Advisory Committee on Belonging, Empowerment, Access, Representation, and Safety. A UAS spokesperson said in an email that staff have updated about half of the webpages as of Wednesday morning. She said they expect to update the rest by the end of the semester. Once that's done, she said they'll start reviewing PDFs, catalogs, and other documents. UA's president said in a press release more than $5 million in federal grants has been frozen or canceled. At UAS, a federal grant was temporarily frozen, but the UAS spokesperson said that's since been restored. While the changes have been smaller at UAS compared to other campuses, students like sophomore Poppy McBride say the decision to scrub mentions of DEI has been demoralizing.
A lot of people are upset by it because this is just ignoring great majorities of like the students that attend our schools.
McBride says they appreciate the support from university staff since the decision passed through.
I'm grateful for the leadership we do have at this school, trying their very best to support students throughout it all. I think a great majority of our faculty is pushing to stay inclusive and to keep supporting students and to not ignore all the identities and people who will be pushed kind of under the rug by this move.
In the meantime, McBride and other students are finding community through campus events and student clubs as the Trump administration continues to investigate and threaten other universities across the country. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. Juneau's city-run emergency warming center closed for the season this morning. It's meant to be a last resort for unhoused people to survive the cold winter nights when temperatures drop below freezing. Juneau continues to grapple with a housing shortage, and the city-run summer campground is closed. And as KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, some shelter clients say they have nowhere else to go.
The steel door slams behind him as Benjamin Stepitin steps outside of Juneau's emergency warming shelter on Wednesday morning. He slings a garbage bag with an extra pair of jeans and a few blankets over his shoulder.
I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. I have nowhere to go.
For the next 5 months, he doesn't know where he'll be sleeping each night.
So I'll be camping out somewhere tonight because I can't come back here.
Stepitin is one of 36 people who stayed at the shelter on Tuesday night. It's the second year it's been located in an industrial warehouse in Thane, about a mile from downtown. Staff from St. Vincent de Paul, a local nonprofit that works to help people affected by homelessness, operates it. Like many of their clients, Stepitin has been staying at the shelter almost every night since it opened in October of last year. While some patrons have been able to secure temporary housing at Juneau's year-round shelters ahead of the closure, staff say most patrons haven't. The shelter saw an average of 45 people a night throughout the season. And though spring has technically come, it's still cold out. The shelter only has some blankets and a bit of extra clothing to give people before they headed out. Last year, some patrons were given camping gear, but not today. They didn't have tents to offer.
The best I can do right now is get some cardboard. And I could put that down and lay on that, you know. That just helps a little bit.
Another patron, Marvin Holmes, sits sipping coffee as the lights turn on at the shelter at 6 a.m. sharp. He's new to Juneau, and it's his first time experiencing homelessness beyond the shelter.
This place is not going to be here, and at that which point, I don't know what to do. And all these guys, they're built for this. They know how to get a tent, go somewhere, and get out the elements. I want to be finished tonight here, and I'm really scared.
Whitney Gannon knows what that's like. She became homeless in Juneau after she escaped a domestic violence situation 2 years ago. Now, she's the shelter's manager, and it's her mission to help people like her get into housing and feel safe.
There's so many different reasons why these people come here, but this is literally their last stop before it's actually the street.
When she lost access to housing, she was able to stay at the Mill Campground, a city-run campground for people experiencing homelessness. However, the Juneau Assembly decided to close it down last summer after an increase in illegal activity. Instead, Juneau Assembly members opted for what's called dispersed camping, essentially allowing people to sleep on public land that isn't technically a campground. Last June, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that cities can ban people from sleeping and camping in public places. This is Deputy City Manager Robert Barr explaining how that affects Juneau's enforcement of homeless encampments.
If a group of folks are camping in a given spot on public land, we are unlikely to take much enforcement action if we're not seeing uncontrolled garbage, the presence of drugs, illegal drugs, or if we're not getting a lot of public complaints. Probably not going to do much, right?
But it's up to the discretion of the city and police to decide when a campground crosses the threshold to require enforcement or dismantling. He says that's the hard part.
I don't think that the topic is going anywhere. I think it's something that we're going to have to continue to struggle through as a community for years.
Back at the shelter Wednesday morning, patrons funnel into a city bus to be dropped off downtown or in the Mendenhall Valley. Where they end up tonight is up to them. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And Arctic research has not been spared as President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk seek to slash what they see as unnecessary government spending. Margaret Williams is an Alaskan serving as a senior fellow teaching Arctic policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. She says understanding what's happening in the far north is important for people across the country and around the world.
The Arctic is changing so rapidly. And we humans need to understand what's happening, what's coming at us, and how we can plan our own lives to deal with the many impacts of a changing Arctic.
She says understanding the Arctic is important for everything from defense policy, shipping, to the global food supply and weather forecasting. Already, cuts to the National Science Foundation have resulted in firings at the office that manages Arctic and Antarctic research. All but five staff at the nonpartisan Wilson Center have been placed on leave and are expected to be fired. That congressionally chartered nonpartisan think tank includes the Arctic and Antarctic-focused Polar Institute. More recently, major proposed cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration reported by NPR and several other news organizations could shutter additional research programs aimed at understanding the changing climate. Trump and Musk have said they see their mission as eliminating wasteful spending. But Williams says cutting scientific research on the poles is likely to hurt the U.S.'s standing as a global leader.
To cut science, to cut the very important information that serves Americans does not make us great. It makes us weak. It makes us ill-prepared. It makes us insecure and vulnerable.
Asked about the cuts to various Arctic programs last month, Republican U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski said she worries the cuts could have a lasting impact.
You've not only impacted good people that are working hard, but you may lose out on the investments that we have made in these programs over the years, and that would be a loss.
She said the cuts to polar research are especially puzzling given the president's stated interest in Greenland. And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it's overcast and 45 degrees, and tonight we've got a chance of rain with a low of 37 degrees. Looking out for the rest of the week going into the weekend, the temperatures are hovering between the high 30s and high 40s with rain in the forecast, so some typical Juneau weather here. And taking a look at the weather for tomorrow, we've got rain mainly after 4 p.m. with a high near 48, southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.